Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
U.S. Conference of Mayors, this is the number one public policy issue for every city in the United States. That's not new. Of course, we've been dealing with the housing crisis for a little while now. It was the number one thing in our strategic plan. Our city residents, through a year of research and asking their opinion on what's most important to the city, housing was the clear number one.
Yeah, Mayor D.C. Reeves, during his press conference last week, talking about the need to get more housing stock so that people can afford to live here, people want to live here, people. And this is, he says, is not a problem just for Pensacola. It's a problem across the country. The way this came up in the context was to be talking about changes for the Land Development Code, what you sometimes hear referred to as the LDC. The LDC is just the rules for how you build stuff. I mean, literally, the development of land code. That's all it is. So, you know, the LDC would have things like your zoning and how much density you can have and, you know, how many lots per acre and the frontage and the setbacks and the lots. All of that stuff is all part of the LDC. Parking spaces. I know something that I had actually noticed last week, and I know the news department had followed up on it, was the, do you see on University, they're no longer allowing parking for the students up at UWF, north of 9 Mile on the west side where all those apartments are, then people are all parking on the side of the street by the forest there. The county has put up signs there banning parking. Not 100% enforced because there's still cars there sometimes, but people are parking all the way down at like the Target parking lot across 9 Mile. Which is not great. But my understanding is basically this apartment complex, which is not UWF run, okay? It's adjacent, but it's private property, right? They didn't build enough spaces, weren't required to build enough spaces. And then, you know, if it had been, I think it was two spaces per unit was kind of the rule in Escambia County, if I remember correctly, before they changed it last year in response to this problem. But if you've got, you know, a quad and you've got a student in each apartment, that's a room. That's four people per unit, and that doesn't even allow for friends and girlfriends. So completely inadequate parking at this particular place, which, again, is not on UWF. It's, you know, private property. But then where are they going to park? And then it becomes unsafe. They're walking up streets and not lit at night, and it's, well, it just happens to be undeveloped land. And anyway, big problem. The county responded to that last year and expanded or increased the required number of parking spaces per dwelling unit for multifamily, which I understand, but I actually thought it was a bit of an overreaction because it was kind of a unique circumstance. You know, it's really because it's university students, and it really wouldn't be normally that kind of a problem in other situations. And the reason I say an overreaction is because anytime you increase the parking requirement, you're now increasing the cost of the units. And you're, you know, taking land out of living space and putting it into parking space, literally. And that is, you know, making it so that there's less living space and the cost goes up. So it's both problems. And I do think it was a bit of an overreaction based on this one problem. But it is the county that's been leading that. Anyway, the Land Development Code, the city is looking at this. And, you know, Santa Rosa County is looking at the Land Development Code for different reasons. But the city is looking at it, I think, primarily in terms of changing some of the zoning and density and, you know, what you're going to be allowed to do probably in existing neighborhoods, which is something the mayor is well aware there's going to be some, you know, what he calls difficult conversations over.
I don't think there's a better brushstroke of trying to attack this problem than looking at the codes that prohibit or limit our ability to thicken neighborhoods. And
I kind of like that. I'm often reluctant to embrace terminology that is kind of a euphemism for a problem. Historically we've always said increasing density. You know, instead of having 4 units per acre, we have 6 units per acre. Or instead of having 1 unit per acre, we have 4, whatever. Thickening is a way of making it sound like, well, thickening is a good thing, you know, but he's right. You take a neighborhood that's got a certain character with a certain number of units and you thicken it by putting, instead of single family, you put in a duplex, or you might put in a fourplex or something like that. And, you know, again, he recognizes that everybody agrees in principle, but it's each individual neighborhood that's going to say, well, I don't want a duplex near me.
And as I've said publicly before, there'll be some difficult conversations within that, and helping people understand, you know, the value of some of the changes that we need to make.
Yeah, you know, somebody's going to have to take the inconvenience of having more people near you, more cars on your road. And I think part of this also is a bit of a bias against renters, because typically a duplex is not as likely to be an owner. And if there's a fourplex, it's less likely to be an owner, although it can be, you know, you can't own those. And, you know, it's true. If you live in a neighborhood of owners, you're more likely to have a little bit better quality of neighborhood than you are if you live in a neighborhood full of renters, because it's people with less commitment to the area. It's people who may not be as financially or otherwise responsible. I mean, these are all real issues, okay? It's why people don't love to have renters in their neighborhoods as much, or they don't want to have even worse, you know, short-term rentals in their neighborhoods as much. So I think he's right that there are going to be people who push back on this stuff. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. That accident that we had on Beulah a little bit earlier has now been cleared up, so all lanes of traffic are open there. Not seeing any delays to let you know about. It looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you've got a company, you've got employees, you've got to deal with benefits, Torgerson Causey, they can help you with this. Whether, you know, you might be wondering if there's a better way to do it, a cheaper way to do it, or more options to give your people, I can tell you from our experience working with them now for about 4 years that that's exactly what they did for us. They gave us options on health insurance that we didn't have before, dental, vision, life, and disability that was better than what we had before, and just better at customer service. And, you know, I'm a kind of a raving fan. I really, really like them. My wife really, really likes them. She is, you know, very particular. She's an engineer by training. And so, you know, I'm a philosopher. She's an engineer. So we ask questions and detail difficult questions, right? And she usually is not super satisfied with most insurance people, because most insurance people are salespeople and not detail oriented. I mean, it just is. And so when she finds a good insurance person, she's like, oh, yeah. And, you know, she loves the Torgerson Causey folks. They're fantastic. So, you know, if you want to maybe solve a problem or just find out if there's a better way to do it for your folks, because obviously benefits are important to attracting and retaining talent. More than 20 years in the Pensacola area, Torgerson Causey has been helping people just like you. Have them look at what you're doing for no obligation. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Back to the question about how to change land development code and how to, what Mayor Reeves is, I think, a bit euphemistically calling thicken neighborhoods, increase density in neighborhoods, allow more development that might not be single-family dwellings only, but maybe duplexes, triplexes, quadplexes, something like that. And he says, look, you know, we've done this before, and we can do this without sacrificing the character of the neighborhoods that we all cherish in Pensacola.
But I usually point out two things. Number one is some of the most beautiful, ornate quadplexes in our city are in North Hill that were built in the 1940s. So this is not a new concept. There were people building multifamily type establishments in many of our historic neighborhoods, East Hill, North Hill. There's buildings in East Hill that have 6-7 units in them that were designed that way, you know, that historically. So this is not new.
Yeah, it can be done well. The trick is, and he's well aware of this, I think, is that it's going to be doing it well and not just doing it. Because crummy junkie, that can be true of single family units. That can be true of multifamily units and, you know, but he gets at the basic point that, look, what we all want is we want our kids, when they grow up and go to school, to either come back right away or come back not too far away. You know, like maybe 5 or 10 years, but, you know, maybe go out and, you know, experience the world a little bit. That's fine. But if there's nowhere for them to live and to afford to live here, then they won't be coming back. And that's bad.
And what I know we all want is our kids and our grandkids to move home. I know that's what my parents wanted. I know that's what I'll want when, you know, Caroline goes off to college or whatever. I would hope she wants to move back here. And I'm guessing she's not going to buy a 5-bedroom house. I'm guessing she's going to live in an apartment,
right,
or a duplex or a quadplex or something like that. And we've all done that. We've all lived there, you know, at one point or another in our life. So those are the realities, is that we are never going to solve this housing crisis putting one person or two people per 10,000 square feet in our town consistently.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There is one, I hate to be this guy, But, you know, being this guy is kind of like my brand. John, fair? It's accurate?
Very fair.
Okay. We are in the midst as a society, as a race, I mean, as in humans, okay? We're not making enough babies. And so what does it... Okay, hear me out. The demographers will say, that's the people who study, you know, demographics, will say that because we are underpopulating, we are underreproducing, we are not having enough unprotected sex. That's the reality of it, you know, preferably in marriage. Highly preferably in marriage. But, you know, oh God, so many side trails we could go on here. By the way, you know, when you get pregnant, that's not when something went wrong. That's when it worked right. Like, that's like how it's supposed to happen. Anyway, back to the point. Make more babies. I love the Rachel Campos Duffy. She was on TV. She wears a hat as make more babies. Makes me laugh. Anyway, we're not making enough babies. And as a result, we are in a long population curve problem. Countries like India and China and generally Asia are ahead of the curve on this because they started really trying to stifle the reproduction, and that's caused them massive problems now. We are better, but not a lot better. We're in a place where, as baby boomers, think of that as a big ripple or bubble in the population number, baby boomers are retiring or retired, but what are they also doing? If you're 50, what are your parents doing? Downsizing. Right? Downsizing. They're getting rid of the big house. Lots of baby boomers are doing that. Now, that's actually competition against people who are up and coming into the small, like the apartment and the condo market, okay? But also, as more and more retire over the next like 10 to 15 years, we're not making enough children to replace them, more and more people are retiring or passing away, we're actually looking at a housing surplus versus the population. And that means you're looking at sort of long-term less stability in the real estate world overall. And my concern, my one question is, as we're rushing to build so many houses, what happens in 15 years? Now, I know, if you don't build houses, what are you going to do for the people right now? Agreed. But if we build a whole bunch of houses, and then we got a whole bunch of people retiring, downsizing, passing away, and you don't have replacement waves coming, it's not great. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Happy Monday. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models, or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Balin Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the brew-through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the brew-through to the early learning sensory garden. Thank you.
Ugh, I've just been feeling so sluggish lately.
You should try the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge.
The Metamucil 2-Week Challenge?
Yeah, Metamucil 4-in-1 Fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Start your daily routine now, and in 2 weeks, you could be feeling great. Well, it's been 2 weeks. How you feeling?
Lighter and feeling great.
If you want to feel lighter by promoting digestive health, sign up to take the 2-week challenge at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
But what we found out is that each one of us is a brain.
And an athlete.
And a basket case. A princess.
And a criminal.
Good morning, 625 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to be back. Thank you to Craig and to John and to Walker and to Bobby for filling in for me last week. John Pickens, who fills in for himself regularly, is...
Oh, I know, right?
He's got traffic on the fives, John.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Just some minor delays if you're on Highway 29 headed southbound right at the 9 Mile intersection. Those are the only delays I'm seeing at this moment. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, somebody had just texted me to follow up to see if I had seen. We had a listener write a Transgressors Memorial Service canceling me for not being here last Friday. Awesome. If I get a chance, I will read it to you today later. It's pretty good. Sitting in for David Wayne this morning, we've got Steve Taylor in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Good morning. European leaders are scheduled to host an emergency summit in Paris focusing on Russia's ongoing war against Ukraine. European leaders are meeting to discuss the continent's increasingly strained relationship with the U.S. The news comes after President Trump spoke with Russian President Putin about negotiating an end to the war. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, though, says his country will not recognize any of its territory occupied by Russia as a part of Russia. Zelensky says no amount of negotiation will get Ukraine to change its borders. This comes after President Trump says it's unlikely that Ukraine will get back all the territory it lost in the war as a part of a peace deal. People are scrambling to find less expensive eggs because of the average price of a dozen grade A large eggs has now cracked a new record. The Consumer Price Index for January shows grade A eggs nationwide cost $4.95, which is 13 cents more than the prior record of $4.82. The previous record was set way back, well, in January 2023. And that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. Yeah, the I don't know what the outcome of the negotiation between Ukraine and Russia is. I don't think anybody really does. A truly just outcome would be the restoration of not just the territory acquired this time, but like Crimea. Does anybody remember that Russia took Crimea before? And so, you know, I get where Zelensky is coming from and what he wants to have happen. Is that a realistic end goal? It's the just end goal, but remember, unjust wars don't often produce just end results, so we'll see what happens. Pensacon, great fun, as always, bumping into lots of people and talking to them about... I love talking to people who cosplay and show up and are interesting, and I bumped into a couple of people on the floor.
All right, so we're here with people cosplaying from the world of Mario. We've got...
Waluigi!
Luigi time!
It's Mario!
Outstanding. And you guys are from Pensacola, or...?
We're from Mobile.
Oh, and how many times have you been here?
It's probably my seventh time here at Pensacon.
Same for you guys?
No, it's actually our second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, second time.
So what brings you back? You came once, what brought you back?
Well, we love the atmosphere of being around, like, you know, the comic book, the anime, the culture of all of it. I grew up, you know, watching Naruto and Dragon Ball Z and everything else. So for me, it's just the exposure to being around a lot of stuff that I'm not usually around because we don't get it a lot in Mobile.
Do you do more interested in the people who are here, the events, or just the atmosphere?
It's a little bit of everything. I love the vendor fair. You get to see a lot of cool stuff that you can't find anywhere else, meet a lot of interesting people. You see other cosplayers. Then you get to go and meet a lot of the guests. So you get to see some of your favorite artists, characters from different shows and movies that you grew up with. So it's very nostalgic, and it's a lot of fun for everyone.
And I know my tourist people want me to ask this. Do you stay here, or do you travel over every day?
Well, we travel because we come from Mobile, and it's only an hour away. But the food around here is great. We're going to go to McGuire's after this. You can't beat it. There's a lot of other great places to eat around Pensacola. So it's just a fun day, fun thing that you can come out here for the whole weekend. You can spend the time out here this weekend, get you a hotel, and eat a lot of great places and see a lot of cool stuff.
Well, thank you for coming, spending money, and thanks for being a part of PensaCon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And it was packed on Saturday, outside and inside. Lots of people there. It was a good time, for everybody. And I got to meet Michael Biehn, one of my favorite actors. He's been in a lot of bad movies, but he's been in, four of the best movies ever. The Abyss, Aliens, Terminator, and Tombstone. And so good. Actually, I have a funny story I'll have to tell you later about Michael Biehn. You'll find it entertaining. Hey, if you've got any kind of a plumbing issue, Barbary Plumbing, they'll fix it for one flat rate, not based on the time, but based on the job itself. They'll tell you in advance how much it's going to cost. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. No questions, no surprises.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Secretary of State Marco Rubio arriving in Saudi Arabia overnight for peace talks with Russian officials alongside Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff and National Security Advisor Mike Waltz.
When asked if Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will be involved in the talks, the president said
he will be involved, yes.
On NBC's Meet the Press Sunday, Zelensky said he wants peace, but he believes Putin may escalate global conflict.
That's Fox's Kevin Uretsky. The Kremlin saying the talks will happen sometime tomorrow. French President Emmanuel Macron, meanwhile, calling an emergency meeting with the EU and UK allies in Paris after being cut out of the peace negotiations.
So they're going to tackle how to respond to the fast-moving pace of the Trump administration, which came as a shock to many of these European leaders, Washington's shifting policies, and the Trump's team's conversations with Moscow.
Fox's Alex Hogan. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31, 36 degrees right now and clear. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. 41-year-old Gregory Simons of Pensacola is facing multiple felony charges after allegedly pointing a firearm at a group outside of a motorcycle shop and tossing an explosive device as he drove away. The item exploded near Jimmy John's restaurant on Beale Parkway in Fort Walton Beach. The blast broke glass and caused minor cuts to the back of an employee there. Deputies later spotted Simons on Lewis Turner Boulevard and initiated a traffic stop. They observed what they call an explosive device. The ATF responded and found four M-type explosive devices. Two firearms also recovered from the car. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office charged Simons with throwing a destructive device, causing bodily harm or physical damage, displaying a firearm during the commission of a felony, felony criminal mischief, and improper exhibit of a firearm. He's currently being held in the Okaloosa County Jail. Escambia Public Schools is exploring the possibility of integrating 7th and 8th graders into Pensacola High School as a part of an effort to address challenges posted by school choice and voucher programs. The district has experienced a decline of about 4,000 students over the past 3 years. That's according to the school board officials. District 3 board member David Williams says one proposal to retain students involves creating magnet schools for academically gifted 7th and 8th graders who would then attend Pensacola High School. If approved, students could apply for that next year. The plan would also result in sixth graders being included in elementary schools. The streets of Milton were alive with excitement as the Mardi Gras parade, hosted by the Emerald Coast crew of Airship Pirates, rolled through town on Saturday afternoon. Spectators, both young and old, were filled with joy as the fleet of pirates descended upon Northwest Florida, including those from News Radio 92.3 and our sister stations Cat Country, Playlist 94.5, and ESPN Pensacola. There was filled with the thrill of throws being tossed to eager hands, with children and adults alike vying for the coveted loot. Adding to the festival atmosphere, a few unaffiliated pirates were spotted mingling with the crowd, enjoying the lively celebration. The festivities continue through the Mardi Gras season next weekend in Navarre and the following weekend in downtown Pensacola. Florida gas prices declined 14 cents last week. That's according to AAA. Yesterday's state average was $3.03 a gallon. That's the lowest daily average price since December and 2 cents less than the previous 2025 low. The average price per gallon in Escambia County is $2.89. A low of $2.71 is available on East 9 Mile Road in Pensacola. The low price last night in North Escambia was $2.79 at a station on Highway 20 in Cantonment. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Waking up chilly this morning with temperatures in the 30s. By this afternoon, warming up near 57 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 41. On Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 62. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're looking at I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays if you are headed southbound on Highway 29 approaching the I-10 exit and ramp there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Right now, 36 degrees in Pensacola, 36 also in Gulf Breeze, and 37 in Milton at 635. Next news is at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? That's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. That's the sound of over $20 billion in new investments to produce EVs and batteries in Michigan. And that? That's the silence of Michigan's new En-ROAD wireless charging system. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
Authorities are responding to a storm damage incident in Escambia County. Multiple Escambia County EMS units are now on the scene.
At any time.
We do know that debris was lofted into the air. There are damages to buildings, multiple buildings over there.
At any time.
The National Weather Service in Mobile confirmed this morning a tornado did hit the area.
When you need to know. Marconi Award winner, News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
At a high level, if you say, what is the goal of DOGE, or I think a significant part of this of presidency is to restore democracy. This may seem like, well, are we in a democracy? If there's not a good feedback loop from the people to the government, and if you have rule of the bureaucrat, if the bureaucracy is in charge, and then what meaning does democracy actually have? If the people cannot vote and have their will be decided by their elected representatives in the form of the president and the Senate and the House, then we don't live in a democracy. We live in a bureaucracy.
Amen, brother. That's correct. This Oval Office interview that Elon Musk and Donald Trump did last week, where he had his kid X running all over the place, the most interesting thing. It was fascinating to watch. John, do you happen to watch this at all?
I did.
Okay.
I actually did.
The press, my people.
Your people.
My people, not great at our jobs often. Sometimes. But the headlines I saw about this event were things like, you know, so disrespectful for him to dress that way, or so disrespectful for him to have his kid running around, or, you know, is Elon the unelected president? You couldn't possibly have misunderstood what was happening here any worse. Like, if those were your takeaways from this event, you were not listening.
No.
Because he was, both of them, but especially Elon Musk, they were explaining so much. Because that basic principle of, if you can't fix what's wrong with the government, if there's no feedback into that system because whatever the people say in terms of who they send doesn't matter, he's exactly right. Democracy is not functioning. You have to have that feedback. Now, by the same token, the people don't get to decide everything right away. That's why you have things like a constitution. That's why you have laws. Okay, there's just because the popular vote goes a certain way or the electoral college goes a certain way, of course, they're not the same, that does not mean that everything changes overnight. But the basic idea that if the people can't have their way, I mean, that's why we had a revolution, right? That's the idea, is that people self-governing. You have to be able to control the government.
So it's incredibly important that we close that feedback loop, we fix that feedback loop, and that the public's elected representatives, the president, the House, and the Senate, decide what happens, as opposed to a large, unelected bureaucracy.
Right, and, you know, the idea that this institution of the bureaucracy, or what, you know, some people would call the deep state or whatever, I mean, that's been the argument for a long time, is things like term limits. You want to advocate for term limits because we're going to cut down the amount of time that people can be in office. Well, the power will stay somewhere, and it stays with the people who don't change over every 8 years. That's all the administrative officials and the support staff who are the ones who wind up controlling everything. So a bureaucracy itself becomes the problem.
This is not to say that there aren't some good, there are good people who are in the federal bureaucracy, but
lots of them.
But you can't have an autonomous federal bureaucracy. You have to have one that is responsive to the people. That's the whole point of a democracy.
Amen.
And if you looked at the, if you asked, looked at the founders today and said, what do you think of the way things have turned out? Well, we have this unelected, fourth unconstitutional branch of government, which is the bureaucracy, which has, in a lot of ways, currently more power than any elected representative. And this is not something that people want. And it's not, it does not match the will of the people. So it's just something we've got to fix.
Agreed. And I mean, they are, you know, they're taking a flamethrower to it, right? Which in some ways is a problem. But you've got people like the Obama bros who came out and tried to do this under Obama are now saying, you know, we tried to do this and we didn't succeed. What they're doing is good. You know, like, there is a recognition that the only way you're going to, this is a war within the federal government against inefficiency, fraud, and waste. And you do not win a war by timid action. Trump and Elon and his folks are waging war against a very, very bloated federal government. And that's not something that's going to happen easily. That's not something that's going to be painless. You know, it requires you to look at things like, well, you know, how is it that somebody who makes $100,000 or $200,000 a year becomes a millionaire in government? You know, how is that possible? And then, again, my people, okay, media people, are sometimes very sharp. And sometimes, you know, just cannot find the point at all. And I was surprised at how much they didn't seem to grasp what Musk was saying in this Oval Office interview.
If you look at, say Treasury, for example, basic controls that should be in place, that are in place in any company, such as making sure that any given payment has a payment categorization code, that there is a comment field that describes the payment, and that if a payment is on the do not pay list, that you don't actually pay it. None of those things are true currently. So the reason that departments can't pass audits is because the payments don't have a categorization code. It's like just a massive number of blank checks just flying out the building. So you can't reconcile blank checks. You've got comment fields that are also blank, so you don't know why the payment was made.
I mean, this is maybe a weird direction to take it in, but, you know, President Trump got those felony convictions because the comment field was filled out for legal services. But, that's what's supposed to happen. There's supposed to be something that tells you what the money is going for. And when that doesn't exist, you have no way of tracking it. You have no way of, identifying it in an accounting system. You wind up paying people who shouldn't be paid, who are on the do not pay list and all of that, terrorists among others. But I thought there was one part in particular where he was explaining, why does the government send so much money out improperly? And it's about basic human psychology. I thought this was such an elegant explanation. I was not expecting this. So I have kind of my view of Elon Musk is he's obviously an amazing businessman. Some of the things that he's done are just bizarrely, wildly successful. Other things, maybe not as much. Other times, I think he's just a weirdo. He's definitely weird. Okay. But listen to this explanation of why the federal government wastes so much money and ask yourself, man, is that not somebody who understands human psychology?
So you say, how could such a thing arise? That seems crazy. When you understand that really everything is geared towards complaint minimization, so then you understand the motivations. So if people receive money, they don't complain, obviously. But if people don't receive money, they do complain. And the fraudsters complain the loudest and the fastest. So then when you understand that, then it makes sense. Oh, that's why everything just, they approve all the payments at Treasury. Because if you approve all the payments, you don't get complaints.
Duh. the system is geared around who complains, squeaky wheel, and of course, who complains the most is the fraudsters.
But now we're saying that, no, actually, we are going to complain. If money is spent badly, if your taxpayer dollars are not spent in a sensible and frugal manner, then that's not okay. Your tax dollars need to be spent wisely on things that matter to the people. I mean, these things, it's just common sense. It's not draconian or radical, I think. It's really just saying, let's look at each of these expenditures and say, is this actually in the best interest of the people? And if it is, it's approved. If it's not, we should think about it.
And, when you're looking at things like 150-year-olds getting Social Security payments, some of that, I saw those numbers and they're crazy. It's almost so crazy you can't believe it's true. Then again, ask yourself the question, do you believe the federal government is running on all cylinders all the time, fully efficient? And yeah, no, of course not. Social Security accounts with no identifying information. And then, of course, Trump talked about the idea of having a person who gets a contract that's supposed to be a short-term contract and he winds up continuing to take payments for 20 years. I don't know how often this happens. I don't think at this point anybody knows how often. But when you have some of these very high-profile, egregious examples, like the $59 million to a hotel in New York where they're booking people full booking for double the price in order to take care of illegal immigrants. Yeah, maybe there's some problems, especially when people in North Carolina still don't have their money. I get that comparison. And so what they're basically saying, it's kind of a zero-based budgeting of, eliminate it all and let's start from scratch and see what things can be justified. Is it 99-1 fraud, waste, and abuse? Is it 1-99 fraud, waste, and abuse? Well, according to Trump and Elon, it's more the former than the latter, and that's the problem. 648 News Radio 92.3, John's got traffic for you. John?
That's right, brought to you by Rapid Radios. Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies offering national LTE coverage for a limited time. Go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're taking a look at I-10. I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Starting to see some delays at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 going both north and southbound, so be aware of that. Also, just minor delays if you're headed from downtown Milton into East Milton. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to this White House or Oval Office conversation with Elon Musk and Donald Trump, which I found very interesting. Personally, I found it very interesting. Somebody texts in and says, Andrew, a person who makes $200,000 a year can become a millionaire with saving and investing. You're better than that. Yeah. Okay, but they can't become, an 8 millionaire, a 9 millionaire in 3 years. Or in 5 years. Now, over the course of a lifetime, following Dave Ramsey techniques, sure. But that's not what they're getting at in this situation. And how many of them are like that, and how many of them are like the latter? Well, that's going to be the question. But I'll tell you, the one that caught me the most, and I'm sure it did for you, this was such a bizarre example. But it so epitomizes the view I think we all have of dysfunctional government systems. But I'm going to let Elon explain. Remember, they were going to try to fire a whole bunch of people or allow them to retire. And they were basically told, well, you can't have more than $10,000 a month retire.
And then we were told, this is actually, I think, a great anecdote, because we were told the most number of people that could retire possibly in a month is 10,000. We're like, well, why is that? Well, because all the retirement paperwork is manual on paper. It's manually calculated, then written down on a piece of paper. Then it goes down a mine. And I'm like, what do you mean a mine? Like, yeah, there's a limestone mine where we store all the retirement paperwork. You look at a picture of this mine, we'll post some pictures afterwards. And this mine looks like something out of the 50s because it was started in 1955. So it looks like it's like a time warp. And then the limiting factor is the speed at which the mine shaft elevator can move determines how many people can retire from the federal government. And the elevator breaks down and then nobody can retire. Doesn't that sound crazy? There's like 1,000 people that work on this.
And what you might think is, come on. Is that really? Because it's so outrageously stupid. It can't possibly be that there's 1,000 people working in some mine. It's in Pennsylvania. And that the paperwork volume and the speed of the elevator descending to the vault in the archive below is the key limiting factor on how many people can quit in a month. It's all totally true. Go look it up. Even Snopes had a thing. Yeah, is it true? Business Insider, USA Today. Yeah, it's true. It's in Pennsylvania. It's just amazing.
So I think if we take those people and say, like, you know what? Instead of working in a mine shaft and carrying manila envelopes to, boxes in a mine shaft, you could do practically anything else. And you would add to the goods and services of the United States in a more useful way.
If we could just get you doing literally any other job and stop keeping paper records, most likely, think of how much better off we'd be.
So anyway, so I think, that's an example. At a high level, if you say, like, how do we increase prosperity, is we get people to shift from roles that are low to negative productivity to high productivity roles. And so you increase the total output of goods and services, which means that there's a higher standard of living available for everyone. That's the actual goal.
I mean, yes. You've acquired this distressed property called the United States, the federal government. What can you do to make it run properly? Well, here's some things. And they're doing them. And this is massive upsetting of the cart, but it's broken. Break it. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
With the arrival of the all-electric Volkswagen ID. Buzz, there's a lot of excitement generating at P4 Imports on New Warrington Road. The highly anticipated new VW van brings the past back to life while aiming toward the future with bold innovation that promises to impress. Catch an ID. Buzz on your exclusive test drive today. And while you're there, check out the 2024 Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport. These full-sized SUV models are available with 1.9% financing for 60 months or up to $4,500 in customer discounts. And the 2024 Tiguan, VW's crossover, is available for 0% financing for a full 60 months or up to $3,000 in rebates. Peakmore Imports on New Warrington Road has the distinctive and innovative design that Volkswagen drivers love to drive home. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Peakmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Discounts are a standalone offer not to be combined with special APR rates offered through Volkswagen Financial Services. Qualifying credit offer expires March 3rd, 2025.
Ladies, do you want to feel more connected to our community? Consider joining Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded 165 grants totaling more than $17 million in our community. Connect with other women and increase your area impact. Membership deadline is March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
.655 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's cold today. I was wearing shorts yesterday and this morning. You know, it's coat weather. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No new accidents to let you know about right now. We're looking at I-10, I-110 are looking good. No slowdowns there. Highway 90 from Payson to Pensacola and vice versa is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is out. Steve Taylor is in for him this morning with our news. Steve?
Good morning. Devastating weekend flooding is blamed for nearly a dozen deaths, almost all of them in Kentucky. The storm system triggered more than 1,000 rescues and widespread road closures in parts of the southeast. The governor of Kentucky says 9 people were killed in that state and warned the death toll may rise as the search and rescue efforts continue. It's been 500 days since the October 7th, 2023 Hamas attack on Israel that left more than 1,000 dead and hundreds of hostages in the hands of the Palestinian militant group. The resulting war unleashed by Israel in the Gaza Strip has since killed thousands and left the region devastated. As of Saturday, some 70 of the original 251 hostages remain in Hamas custody, including the bodies of almost 36 people confirmed dead by Israel. Today is President's Day. In case you didn't notice, most government offices are going to be closed for the holiday. Major banks and post offices also are closed today. UPS and FedEx locations will be open, and that's what's happening.
But guess what? We're here.
Yes, we're here.
That's what we do. Steve, thanks so much for the update. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3. Had a great time at Pensacon over the weekend, as always do. And I love talking to the people who cosplay and dress up. I don't. I mean, I cosplay as a radio host walking around interviewing people. But I especially love to see young people who are locals get involved. This is a couple of ladies from here locally that were dressed up.
So I'm here with somebody playing the Bride of Frankenstein?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And?
Chapel Run.
Oh, okay, of course. Yeah. Pardon me, I'm a little older, so, you know. Yeah. I know the name, but don't know the music yet. So you guys are from Pensacola or somewhere else?
Yes, I'm from Pensacola.
I'm from Pace.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So how many times have you been to Pensacon?
I think this is my second year.
Okay.
I don't know how many she's been to.
I feel like this is like my fifth, I think. Yeah.
Wow. So what brings you back to Pensacon?
Just the environment's really enjoyable, and you can find like anything here, yeah. And meeting new people and all, seeing all their costumes is really cool.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite part is seeing all the costumes, really, and also going around and meeting the celebrities. Like,
okay.
A couple of years, I was able to meet, like, Weird Al and William Shatner.
Yeah.
And so that was really exciting. And a lot of the Doctor Who cast, that was really incredible whenever they came here. And I was able to meet a lot of the cast, so that was awesome.
And do you get photographed a lot?
This year I have. Last year I just dressed up in casual clothes, so no one knew who I was.
Yeah, but usually I get a lot of people asking for, like, my photograph for pictures and everything, so yeah.
Yeah, when I dress as a radio host, nobody has to take my photo, so.
Here, let me.
Well, hey, thank you for dressing up, and we'll get a lot of out-of-towners, so it's nice to see some locals. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
No problem. Yeah.
No, and they were like, you know, I don't know, 18 or 19, something like that. Just, you know, just barely in high school or maybe just in college. And, you know, just adorable, wonderful, nice to meet them. And, you know, I love that Pensacon is made largely by the citizens, you know, who show up and do their thing and have fun. And that's what makes it interesting. I also want to give some credit. Something that nobody has ever done before when they filled in for me, Walker Wilson. Making up all the reasons why I wasn't here.
Andrew is out of town this week. He was helping Serena Williams
rehearse how to crip walk at the Super Bowl halftime show, and he has some sore thighs, and he is not able to make it into work today.
Sore thighs?
Yeah,
he couldn't walk
to get out of the house this morning. You know, just one of those things. And you shouldn't crip walk at Andrew's age. That's the moral of the story.
I can too crip walk. Not well. All right, here's another one.
Andrew will be back with us on Monday. He has been invited over to New Orleans to be a life-size baby in the largest king cake in the world.
They were hilarious. Well done.
Listen on air.